Christ who's in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where things are not always what they seem. You know, the challenges that we face, the struggles that we go through, the life that we live, what an amazing adventure. You know, what an amazing set of experiences that we're allowed to go through as part of the abundant life in Christ Jesus, up to what we've been called. You know, we've been called to live an abundant life. An abundant life is a full life, an overflowing life. And an overflowing life overflows because it has so much in it. So many experiences, highs and lows, struggles and challenges, things that you would have never ever picked for yourself if it was up to you. But God, by His grace, leads us in and through. You know, I think back to so many figures, people, characters in the Bible, of what they faced, what they experienced, what the challenges were that they had to come through. And, you know, for the ones that were real, they didn't have an easy road. You know, we don't get an easy road. We don't get an easy path. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Very true. But the path to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, I mean, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, yes. So you don't have to carry much in this trip. God gives you manna in the desert. He supplies you what you need when you need it. But the path that you will travel on, it's straight and narrow. Few there are that find it. The narrow gate is Christ Jesus. Now once you've come through Christ, you come into a very broad place. You come into a freedom that is amazing. And that freedom is, look, He says you do. He leads and guides you go that way. And you just trust Him. You know, I know that it's not easy. I know that. God knows that. He understands that. He of all people understands that. Because Jesus was a man in flesh. He came and existed in flesh and experienced the same trials, the same tribulations that we face. Characters in the Bible. Elijah was a man just like us. Scriptures talk about him, but he prayed. And when he prayed, things changed. You know, I mean, John the Baptist, among those born of women, there wasn't one greater than John. Jesus was talking about him. But, you know, I mean, even with that, you know, John did no miracle. John just, you know, he just did what God told him to do. Took it as it was. Took it as it came. I mean, you know, you and I, we go through this journey of life, and the process of it is a refining process. When Christ brings you into this, He will test you to the very core of your being. If you will go with Him, He will test you in every aspect, in every desire. He will go through to see, is there faith in the end? You know, sometimes I've looked back and I'm like, and I've wondered. You know, not that I've learned to trust. in that I know that God knows what he's doing with us. But I've wondered at times, okay, why would I be led into this certain set of experiences? I have wondered that. Yeah, you know, because those questions come up in my mind. Not that I doubt, not that I wouldn't go through it if it's God's plan and purpose, but wondering that. You know, because Acts 15, Acts 16, you know, isn't it amazing that God speaks to these guys and he says to Paul and Silas, vision of a man of Macedonia, come over and help us. They conclude that this is where God wants them to go. They get up, they go, miracles are happening. And then the next thing you know, they're tossed into a jail cell, they're beaten up, their backs are ripped open, feet are in the stocks. And what do? Well, at night, they're praying and singing hymns unto God. They still trusted. Because at that stage, they'd come to a point where they just believed. They knew. They knew the God that they served. And their lives, here's one of the keys, their lives was not dictated by their external circumstance. It was based on an internal reality. The kingdom is within. The change had taken place within. That is what unlocks it. And that is why I think we end up having to go through so many of the things that we have to go through. It's because the kingdom is within. And to crack that shell, to crack that outer man, to crack that so that the life of God can come through us, we have to be broken and stretched and refined in the fire over and over again. We have to go through some stuff that is not pleasant, but there is no other way. Unless we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, unless we go through this wrestling match, which is exhausting and trying and testing and brings you to your wit's end, where the only thing you can do is just trust Jesus and call out to him and allow his power to flow through you into those situations that his power makes the difference. Yeah, what else are you going to do? I mean, but you get stretched to the point and the place where, okay, all right, Lord, I trust you. All right, Lord, whatever it is that you put me into, it's good. It's all good. I'm going to go with you. I've got nowhere else to go. I've got nowhere else that I trust. I've got nothing else. What else can I do? Where else can I go but you, Lord Jesus? To whom else can I call? Who else has my back? Who else cares for my well-being like you? See, the Father knows. And he will lead and guide you. He's not playing hard to get, nor is he trying to be distant from you. Now, sometimes we distance ourselves from him. Sometimes we put ourselves in a situation where we make it hard to hear his voice. We do that. But he's not far from us. And he will meet you where you're at. Just call out to him. You know, the struggles that we face, they're common. They're common unto the people of God. The things that we go through, these are not big stretches. They're not, yes, they're tough because of the limitations of our capacity. Because we've only gone to a certain point. You know, there comes a point where there's nothing left. And it's just him. There's nothing left. You have nothing in this world that you desire but him. There's nothing that you trust in this world. You trust him. There's nothing that you want more than him. Period. And, you know, it's a beautiful place of surrender. And in the process of being tested like that, what will happen is either you'll come to the point in the place where you say, you know, there is something that you want more than you want God, more than you want His truth, more than you want His purpose, His will, His plan in your life. And there'll be a stopping point where you get off the bus, or you will keep going. And in the process of keeping going with Him, He will burn out of you every impurity until the only thing that He sees in the end is His reflection in you. You know, I was told that with the silversmith, when he's refining silver in the fire, he knows when it's done when he can see his reflection in that silver that's being refined. Now, I haven't checked this out. I just heard it, something that came back. But it sounds pretty darn good, because it sounds like what God does to us, in that He puts us in the fire. We're afflicted, we're tried, we're tested at every side. And in the process of all of that testing that we go through, there comes a point where His reflection is in us. And people see Him in us. Now, you know, I know at times people would like things to be a certain way. They would like some things to be comfortable and consistent and understandable and dependable. But God said, I will shake everything that can be shaken. That includes you. That includes me. Everything will be shaken. And only that which is built on the rock will stand. Only that which is set in Christ Jesus is going to last. Period. Everything else pass away. Everything else will be destroyed. Everything else will be revealed for what it is, which is temporal, incomplete, not eternal, and therefore not a priority. You know, look, also in the things that you do right now. See, the things you do are not who you are. The people of God, what we do and who we are is two different things. We will do whatever it is that the Father has for us to do at any given time. If it means you clean toilets, you clean toilets with a joyful heart. If it means that you run multi-billion dollar companies, you run multi-billion dollar companies with a joyful heart. If it means you become a surgeon, or you will argue in court, or whatever it is, you do it with a joyful heart, grateful that God has given you the chance and the opportunity to be His light and His ambassador in that place, leading and being led, as it were, by the Spirit of God, being led by God through that experience for whatever window of time He'd have you to do it. And the moment that He says something else, you go with it. Why? Because what you do and who you are two different things. What you do is whatever God gives you to do. And like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Who you are is a follower of Christ. Who you are is a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined person. A disciple is one that, hey, He says you do. And you're disciplined to that. Now, when we make mistakes, what do? Well, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, you repent, you redirect, and make sure you come back into alignment, spiritually, mentally, and physically, and you move on. You keep going. You know? The righteous fall 7 times, but they get back up again. But the smallest calamity is enough to lay low the wicked. God would have you to stay on track with Him and push through And you know what? You've got to go through the experiences of life. Don't be trying to get out of things. You got to go through them. See, this is one of the challenges. It's so often people are looking for the eject button. They're looking for the way out. They're looking for the quick fix. And God doesn't want people to be like that. He wants you to go through. See, He puts you into the experiences and the challenges of life so that you would learn something. There's a lesson in it. It's not for just for the sake of it. There's a purpose in it. You know, I look back on the experiences and the challenges of my own life and the things that God's had me go through. There was reasons for it. There's things that I learned by following Christ that I wouldn't have learned any other way. Any other way. Not a chance. And would I have picked those experiences for myself? No. No, I would not. If it was left up to me, trying to find in my flesh the easy way, the easy path, the path of least resistance, the path of conformity, the path of my own choosing, which in effect there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the path I would choose would be in my flesh and in myself death, whereas the gift of God is eternal life. What is the gift of God? Well, eternal life in Christ Jesus, redemption, propitiation, which is the substitution sacrifice made for us in Christ Jesus. The gift of God is your ability to hear Him and your ability to follow Him, because you're empowered by His Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you, strengthens you, shows you the way that you must go, and gives you what you need to go that way. You know, when you trust Him, He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's always going to be with you. But He will bring you to an end of yourself. He will bring you to your own death in this life, where you too will end up with that same death experience to the things of this world. Even as Jesus went to the cross, you will die to the world and you will be hid in Him. And the new life that you now live will be the life that is found in the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. That life of His life in you. Yeah. Oh man, it's all good. You know, it's all good. You don't got to worry about anything. I mean, you know, I know it's easy to start worrying, because if you look at things on the external, you'll start to. But here's one thing about all of that. When people worry, it shows they don't trust. And it's easy for people to not worry when they feel like everything's taken care of. But you wait till some things start falling apart in your life, and then see, do you really trust Him? Are you really going to hold on through it all? What did Job say? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job knew. And no matter what happened to him, he wasn't going to go back. Because he knew in whom he had put his trust and his faith. We know in whom we've put our trust and our faith. And we are persuaded that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly past anything that we can imagine or even think. He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. He's not going to leave us stranded, but he's going to take us through. Our part is to trust, to obey, to believe him, and to know that in all things he is faithful. And you know what? You're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. You know what? We're going to make it through this thing. Yes, nobody gets out alive in this life. And there's not a soul that came into this world that's going to stay in this world. So we all pass through. But in that process of passing through, you get to live the abundant life. And when the time does come to check out of this life in the natural, you move on from glory to glory, strength to strength. It's just a transition. It's just a pause. It's just a hiccup. That's why we don't worry about that. What are you worried about? Nothing to worry about. It's already taken care of. In Christ, the price was paid. So get on with it. Live. Live. Trust him and live. Live life. Because to that you were called. And so with that, hey, I love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email. faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Alright, hey, God bless you guys. Talk to you soon. Alright, bye. One day I won't cry no more. Can't wait for the day when people won't die no more. Daddies won't say cry no more, lie no more. In the streets, bullets won't fly no more.